Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, well, good morning. Man, thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us in the room and online. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you. And I want to start with a question this morning. It's a couple's question, so I apologize if you're not currently coupled or in any way interested in coupling. Well, I apologize, but it's a series on marriage. You got to talk about couples. If you are in a couple, if you're married, engaged, maybe you've been dating for a while, I want you to think back with me to your very first date. That well, huh? Already hearing some snickers. So Danielle and I guess if you can call it a date, we consider our first date was March 6th, 2002. Some of you are doing the math. Yeah, been a while. Some of you weren't born yet. March 6th, 2002, and to call it a date is giving myself way too much credit. It was not a date. What you need to understand about me and my wife is we didn't know each other really at all. We went to the same church, and she kind of lived in a different stratosphere than I did. I mean, you've seen her. You've seen me. You get it. And so it honestly never crossed my mind that she would be interested in going on a date with me, but we had kind of started talking just a bit, and I thought I was being pranked. I was like, this can't be real. And we went to a movie as a group. I didn't pay for her ticket, and so it definitely wasn't a date. But my friends knew I was smitten because she sat beside me, she talked the entire movie, and I didn't shush her once. And I am a silence in movies guy. And so after that, again, I was still afraid. That wasn't what I consider really our first date. I didn't pay. But I was like, hey, a group of people come to my house on Wednesdays. We like this television. There was a TV show back then. It was called Ed. He was a bowling alley lawyer. Doesn't matter. It was a stupid show. But we liked it. And back then, if you wanted to watch television, kids, you had to sit down and watch when it came on the television, which is completely antiquated now. But I was like, have you watched this show on Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, it's called Ed? She's like, I love that show. And I was like, thank you. I was like, hey, do you want to come over and watch the show with us? She's like, I'd love to. And so she came over, and we watched Ed. And that was kind of it. That was our first date. We never really went on a bunch of real dates because I didn't have any money and she didn't have any money. I was barely making pennies working for a church, and she was in grad school finishing up her master's degree. And so we really didn't go on many dates. But she, her job at the time is she was a nanny. She would nanny for lots of families in Columbia. And, you know, typically a family who can afford a nanny, you know, like they have a pretty cool house. And so basically I would just tag along when she would nanny. And, like, we would hang out in these cool houses and we would hang out with these kids. And, like, we took these kids to the zoo and did all this stuff. And, like, that was really it. Like, that's how we dated. That's how we fell in love. That's how we decided to get married and commit our lives to each other, just hanging out. Now, I'll tell you that because my hope that it spurred some thoughts in you, and you started thinking about it, like I asked you to do, about, you know, especially if you're married, like that your first date, those first couple of dates, those first, the very, very beginning. And I want you to think back, and I want you to remember, like, what was it about them that drew you to them? You were probably attracted to them, I would assume. But what was it? Like, do you remember those first dates, those first moments, that very beginning, like how you felt when you were with them. Like how you felt when they'd call you. How you felt when they'd pick you up. How you felt when you'd hang out. How you feel when you had to say goodbye. How many of you did the, all right, I'll talk to you later. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. Many of you, I guess. I bring that feeling up because I think it sets us up perfectly for, I believe, God wants to kind of land the plane today in this series we've been in called For Better or Worse. And it's a series about how do our marriages thrive regardless of circumstances? How do we have a love that lasts in the good and the bad? And so if today's your very first time, man, we have covered a lot of content over the last few weeks. And so if you don't have it already, I'd encourage you, grab our app, because it's a great way to stay connected. But also, you can go back and you can see where we've been for the last few weeks, because we began this series with kind of a different approach to a marriage series. If you've been in church before, you probably have heard a marriage series before, but we kind of took a different approach because I think there's a pretty big myth that most of us bring into marriage, and this myth is probably the main reason our marriages fail. And so we've really spent the last few weeks really trying to deconstruct this myth and put it back together, built on Jesus. And so we began the entire series with this concept that completeness is something we bring to, not expect from, our marriage. And this is not what we're taught. We're taught that our spouses complete us, that they make us whole, that we have to go find our better half. And what Jesus has been trying to teach us for the last few weeks is if you go into marriage expecting that, your marriage will let you down. Because that completeness, that wholeness, Jesus would say, is what I intended you to bring to marriage, not expect from it. And we've talked the entire series, that completeness comes to us from Jesus. And that's why week one, we ended with this prayer. Hey, Jesus, make me whole so I can bring my whole self to my marriage. And as I've said, this is true about parenting. This is true about your career. This is true about life. Jesus, make me whole so I can bring my whole self to my life. We're just focusing on marriage. And so throughout the series, we've tried to answer this question. Okay, if we want to be whole, how do I become a whole person? And here's what we learned. A whole person partners with Jesus to take full responsibility for their lives. For the good, for the bad, for the highs, for the lows, for the hurts, for the deficits of our soul. We go to Jesus and we say, hey, Jesus, I know you and you alone can lead me to health, can lead me to wholeness. And so as we approach him, we've learned there are three things we do. Number one, we agree to follow Jesus. Number two, we choose to believe Jesus when he says he can help. And we believe Jesus when he says he's forgiven us. And we believe Jesus when he says he has good things planned for our life. And we believe Jesus when he says that no matter what happens, he can turn it to good, and that we have purpose and that we have value and that he is moving us towards something. We believe those things. And then as we do that, as we become whole people, we can, as it says there, love like Jesus. And last week, we talked about the hard work of following and believing Jesus, specifically in marriage. The hard work of when things go wrong, when there's tension, when there's conflict, the hard work of being whole, which means we have to turn inward. We have to believe Jesus. We have to follow Jesus. We have to do what he says. If you're here last week, we talked about it. That means that plank patrol comes before spec inspection. That means when there's trouble in our marriage, we start with us. We say, hey, Jesus, what do I own in this situation? What am I bringing to it? What about my present? What about my past could be affecting this moment? 3 weeks on marriage, and all we've talked about is ourselves. Today we're going to talk, guess what, about ourselves, even though it's marriage. Because as I said last week, we are the only thing we can control in our marriage. And if we want our marriage to thrive, if we want it to last, if we want it to weather the for better or worse situations, we have to come to an understanding we're the only thing that we can control. That our wholeness, that our completeness, that our health comes to us from Jesus. That we bring our struggles to him, and as he makes us whole, he lets us love like he loves. And it is that love that I want us to close with today. Now, before I do, I just want to say one thing. This is a four-week series on marriage. I cannot possibly cover every topic there is about marriage. I can't cover every struggle. I'm not wrapping this up saying that's it, that's everything you ever needed to know. I'm saying this is 4 weeks. This is 4 weeks of content for a lifetime of marriage. And I believe it is very helpful, and I believe it will help your marriage, but I know that many of you may say, hey, I have more questions. There's more issues I want to talk through. We have some specific issues, and for you, I want to encourage you. We have two steps that you can take starting today. As soon as we're done with this series, we're going to launch small groups specifically for married, I think I'm right, and engaged couples. That's right, married and engaged couples. You can jump into these small groups, and it'll be another place for you to continue to work on your marriage, work out some of your issues, have conversations. Also, in our Blue Room today, we have resources for you. If you would like a counselor, if you would like a marriage counselor, if you would like to talk with someone about more of your specific issues, as your church, we're here. We want to point you into a healthy direction, vetted counselors that we have talked to, we know personally, we know that they have good credentials. We know they're going to be have a good foundation in Jesus. You can trust them. And so you can go and you can have those conversations today. I just don't want you to think that I'm wrapping this up and I'm like, there you go. Your marriage is great now. Like, that's not the point of today. Honestly, the point of today, especially for the married couples in the room, it's just a simple reminder. It's a reminder of something you've done before. It's a reminder of something you probably stopped doing. And it's a reminder, if you want your marriage to thrive for better or worse, you might want to pick it back up again. Because every one of us in this room knows how to fall in love. If you are married, you know how to fall in love. And the thing that made you fall in love is the exact thing that's going to help you stay in love. But for some reason, once we get married, we tend to stop doing the things that made us fall in love. And what I want to do today is I just want to simply turn to Jesus and Paul, because they both give us a very practical reminder. Here's what it takes. If you want a love that lasts, here's what it takes. If you want your marriage to thrive for better or worse. So to begin, I want to turn to Jesus. I want to turn to one of the most famous things Jesus ever said. If you attend our church regularly, we read this passage all the time because it's one of the few times in the New Testament, maybe the only time, where Jesus actually says, I'm giving you a new thing to do. He says, I'm giving you a new commandment. And this commandment literally changed the world. If you're unfamiliar, Jesus gives this commandment on the last night he spends with his disciples. It was a Thursday evening. We call it the Last Supper. After this dinner, he was going to be arrested, handed over to the Roman government. Friday morning, he was going to be convicted, sentenced to death. Friday afternoon, he dies on a cross. Friday before sundown, they bury him. Maybe you know the story. Sunday morning, he comes back to life, walks out of the grave, and changes the world. So Thursday night, he's having dinner with his disciples. And he gives them a universal command. Please hear me. This command was not about marriage. It is a universal command that applies to marriage. And here's what he says. He says, so I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. And you say, well, yeah, I've been around church or I've heard that taught before. How does that apply to marriage? And the answer is, he just told you the secret to lifelong love. Love each other. I hear you thinking, wait, you're saying the secret to lifelong love is to love? You got it. Yes. You say, well, Trey, that would be like if I was sad, you would tell me the secret to not being sad is just don't be sad. And I would say, no. Two completely different things. You're talking about feelings. Jesus isn't talking about a feeling here. See, you're thinking of love as a noun. You're thinking of love as this thing. Jesus isn't talking about love as a noun. Jesus is talking about love like a verb. Like it's a thing we do. How do I know? Because of what he says next. He says, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. He's not talking about a feeling. He's talking about actions. He's not saying, crawl in my head and understand how I feel about the world. He is saying, you have seen how I have behaved towards the world. You see how I have treated the world. You see how I have loved the world. And as my follower, that is what I want for each and every one of you. I want you to show love actively to the world. And not your love, not movie love, not your parents' love, not your neighbor's love, not your best friend's love. Jesus says, my love. And so what he's saying in this universal command that is applicable to marriages is, if you want to thrive, if you want to survive, if you want to make it for better or worse, if you want a love that lasts, when given the opportunity, it's pretty simple. Choose love. Choose to show love and kindness and grace and mercy to your spouse. That is the secret. We've talked for the last few weeks. We own our own actions. We own our attitudes. We own our behaviors. You want your marriage to thrive, choose to show love to your spouse. Wait for it. Regardless of whether or not you think they deserve it. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. And it's into this moment Paul speaks. Because Jesus just gave this general command, and again, Paul labels this command the law of Christ because Paul takes this command very seriously, and it really does. It redefines the movement once Jesus comes back to life and the men that he put in charge of his movement begin to spread it through the known world. It is this idea that I'm supposed to love like Jesus loves me. I'm supposed to show acts, and I'm supposed to do this for other people. And so one of Paul's letters, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, he picks up where Jesus leaves off, and he kind of expands a little bit. He kind of gives us a little more context for what Jesus actually means. And here's what he says. He says, I want you to imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the people in the room who would consider ourselves Christ followers, who would say, I'm taking the steps. I'm letting Jesus make me whole. I'm letting him fill me up. I'm turning to him. And he's saying, okay, good. As you do that, imitate Jesus, imitate him in everything you do. That includes in your marriage, it includes with your spouse. You should live a life filled with love. That's the wholeness, that's the completeness. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Now see, what Paul's just done is he's taken this universal command and he's put a little context to it. Specifically for us today, specifically in marriage. How do we choose to love our spouse? How do we show love to our spouse? Sacrifice. That was the main way Jesus showed love for us. He sacrificed for us. He put us first. And a few verses later in chapter 5, Paul speaks specifically to married couples, and he gives us the secret to lifelong love. Here it is. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what's Paul saying? What's Jesus saying? What's the secret? Number one, we're going to choose love. And what does that love look like? We're going to submit to one another. That's it. That's the secret. That's the key. That's the special sauce. That's the magic. That's what makes love last. When we willfully choose to submit to one another. And I know some of you are thinking, maybe submit means something different than what I think it means. No, it means what you think it means. It does. Submit literally means to place yourself under someone else. In modern context, it means to treat them like they are more important than you. And Paul's saying, that's the key. And that terrifies us, right? So let's not talk about marriage for a minute. Let's just make it a bigger picture. We've all been places where we were not the most important person in the room, right? You've been places where you knew you were not the most important person in the room. You have been to a five-year-old's birthday party. Okay, you have. We've all been there. And you knew the second you walked in, you were not the most important person in the room. How did you know? Because the banner didn't have your name on it. And no one brought you presents. And no one sang to you. And no one clapped when you blew out the candles. No one made sure you got the first piece of cake. And you did not pout about that. You did not roll your eyes. You did not push back because you understood, I'm not the most important person in this room. They are. And so you happily deferred. You let them enjoy themselves. Maybe you even played a game you didn't want to play, but they wanted to play it. And so you said, sure, fine. It's your birthday. You were submitting. You didn't know you were submitting. But you were. Let's go to another extreme. How many of you in your line of work ever have to call on customers? Or maybe you take a client out for dinner. Or maybe, you know, you have to be around people that have something you want. You know what you do in that situation? You treat them like they're more important than you are. You defer. You know what that looks like? You listen to their stories. If they make a mistake while telling a story, you do not interrupt and say, excuse me. No. You said Surfside. I believe it was Garden City. I'm a details guy. It's needed you to know. If they stumble over their words, you didn't look to the other people and go, there he goes again. They didn't do that. We know how to do this. We know how to defer. And what Paul is saying is, hey, husbands, hey, wives, spouses, treat your spouse like they are the most important person in the world. And I hear you. Wait a minute. Are you saying that my spouse is more important than me? Nope. I'm saying treat them like they're more important than you. And I'm actually not saying anything. Paul's saying it. And if you think it's gotten bad so far, let me keep reading. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Every lady's favorite verse in the Bible. Some of you husbands are like, I'm glad I came today. You're getting your phone out. What is that passage? Ephesians 5:22. Pastor, I'm going to memorize some scripture today. I'm going to memorize some scripture. Ephesians 5:22. For wives, this means submit to your husband. That is biblical, baby. You voted me to get in the Bible. I'm in the Bible, and I'm applying. Submit. Paul explains why. He says, for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. And the husbands are like, amen. But I'm not done reading. Then Paul turns to husbands. And he says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And some of you are like, ooh, it didn't say submit. It says love. Sweet. Nope. Because Paul doesn't just say love. has already told us we have to imitate Jesus. And Jesus showed love through sacrifice. And so he says, hey, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And watch this. And he gave up his life for her. A few verses later, he sums it up. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. It's not two different commands here, folks. Two sides, one coin. The operating passage was 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So when he says, wives, submit to your husbands to the Lord. And when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He's saying the same thing. He's saying, hey guys, choose love. Submit to one another. That is the secret sauce to marriage. To in your fullness, in your wholeness, with all your faculties, choose to love the other and to do what is best for the other, to defer to the other. And I know what you're thinking. Whoa, man, that sounds tough. But does it? Because here's what I wanted you to think about your first dates. And here's what I wanted you to think about the beginning of your relationship. You know what you did exclusively at the beginning of your relationship? You submitted. You deferred. That's all dating is. You put your best foot forward. They put their best foot forward. You listened to them. You took an interest in their stuff. You met their friends. You pretended to like their hobbies. You did. Remember how I told you Danielle told me she just loved the show Ed? You know what I found out years later? She had never seen an episode. And those of you who know me personally may not be shocked to find out I did not wake up every day desiring to take someone else's toddler to the zoo. Wasn't on my list of things to do. But she was doing it. And so I submitted what I wanted for her. Because I wanted to be around her. And every single one of us in this room that got to the point of marriage at some point did these things for each other. And that is why you fell in love. And I know you think it's the opposite. You think, no. I did those things because I was in love. Are you sure? Are you sure it wasn't you did those things because you were attracted? You did those things because you were intrigued? But because it was a relationship where you both submitted, you then fell in love? And you say, oh no, I have to think about that. And here's what I would encourage you to consider. You've probably dated people other than your spouse. And you were probably attracted to those people. We don't talk about that now. But you probably were. Probably were. And for some reason, you didn't fall in love with them. And you thought it was incompatibility. You thought it was your personalities didn't mesh. You know what I bet it was? They wouldn't choose love. They didn't put you first. They wouldn't take an interest in what you took interest in. They wouldn't defer. And so you deleted their number. But your spouse, they did. They would. They tried. They wooed you. They did everything imaginable to make you feel special. And you did the same thing back. And before you knew it, whew, you started dropping the L word. And then you started hinting about marriage. And one of you would break out in a cold sweat. But you kept dating. You kept deferring. You kept submitting to one another. And eventually you felt strong enough towards each other to commit. I'm going to give my life to this person for better or worse. And then the craziest thing happened. The second we get married, it flips. We stop submitting, we stop deferring, we start demanding. No, I got married, and now you're supposed to fix me. No, we married now. I'm not taking you on dates anymore. That's what some of you are thinking. I did all that, so she say yes, Pastor. What else you want me to do? Well, it depends on how happy you are with your current situation. If you're pumped with the way your marriage is, change nothing. But if you like the way it used to be, I have an encouragement for you. You know what to do. You know how to do it with the person you're with. So it's simple. If you want the love you used to have, give the love you used to give. You did it before. What would happen if you did it again? What would happen in your wholeness, in your completeness? Understanding your role in marriage is to bring Jesus to it, not expect them to solve your problems. What would happen if, bathed in that truth, you just decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose to submit. Put it another way, I'm going to start dating them again. I'm going to send them sweet notes. I'm going to take an interest again in their hobbies. See, what we end up doing is like we trick people into marrying us. Because like when you were dating, you pretended like you love shopping. Don't laugh, you pretended like you love football. When you were dating and they wanted to go play golf, you were like, oh, honey, have a great time. Can I come with you? I'll drive the golf cart. I would love that. I just want to spend time with you. Now they want to play golf. You roll your eyes and throw stuff at them. And they're the problem? We're the ones who changed. We're the ones who did a thing, got what we wanted, and stopped trying. So what would happen? What would happen if you did what you knew how to do? And I know some of you are like, man, that's good. That's fine. No. It's too late. You don't know what they've done. They don't deserve for me to choose love. Okay. I hear that. I'm not going to argue with it. If I had lived your life, I'd experienced your experience, I'd probably feel the same way. So it's really good we don't live by my standards or your standards. We have a higher standard if we want to pursue Jesus with our lives. And here's what we were told. We were told to submit to one another. I don't see anywhere on it where it says because they deserve it. Am I missing it? Do y'all see that? I see it says out of reverence for Christ, which means I do this for others because he did it for me. See, Jesus' life didn't begin 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet on what we call Christmas. That's when he came to earth. Jesus is God. We're told he existed in the beginning. He was the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth. He was in heaven with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Jesus is eternal. He has been forever. He fully existed. And he existed in heaven complete and whole and perfect and reigned in majesty with angels singing his praises day and night. Had everything he wanted, everything he needed, lacked nothing because he was God. And he saw a world in trouble. He saw a world that was in trouble because of what they did, not because of what he did. He saw a world that he and his dad had set up and made perfect, and humans had rebelled. And Jesus had a choice to make. I can stay in my holiness. I can stay in my perfection because I'm right and they're wrong. Or I can give all that up. I can become a human. I can go to earth and I can lay down my life for them so that I can have a relationship. I can be right, or I can choose love and submit. And that's what our Heavenly Father did when he sent his Son. And if we want our marriages to thrive, marriage that is, as we talked about week one, a picture of the union between Jesus and his church, we have a choice to make. We have every right to be right. We can say, you know what? I tried. I did my best. But they dot, dot, dot. But they fill in the blank. They're wrong. I'm right. We can choose that. Or we can choose a thriving marriage. We cannot have both. Because we're supposed to mirror our Heavenly Father. And we're supposed to mirror his Son, Jesus. And when his Son, Jesus, had the choice of choosing being right or being connected in relationship, he chose relationship. He deferred. And the same choice, I believe, is available and Holy Spirit empowered for each and every one of us in this room. And we've done it before. We just stopped. Can I say something as kind as I can, but as direct as I can? Most of us would have never dreamt of trying to fall in love the same way we're trying to stay in love. We never would have done it because we know it wouldn't have worked. But then they said yes. We put a ring on it and we stopped trying. We stopped submitting. We started demanding. So what would happen if we just flipped it? If we just did what we did before? Why? It's simple. If you want the love you used to have, give the love you used to give. I asked you at the top to think about how you felt on your first date, how you felt in the early stages of dating. Now I want you to reflect on how you behaved on your first date. How you behaved in that first early period of dating. I bet you were really courteous. I bet you opened doors. I bet you said thank you. I bet you when they told a story, you listened. I bet you when you were around them and their friends, you You looked for ways to elevate them and you didn't look for ways to make fun of them. I bet if they made a mistake, you took them aside privately and said, it was so cute when you said that. It's really this, but I won't tell anybody. We know how to do this. You know how to do this. You did it. And a marriage that thrives for better or worse is just one that never stops trying. It never stops dating. It never stops deferring. It never gets to the point where it says, I've given all I can, now I expect from you. That's not bringing wholeness to marriage. That's expecting marriages to make you whole. We know that'll never work. So that's your reminder. You want the love you used to have? Give the love you used to give. Try it for a week. Even if they don't return the actions, it's okay. Jesus has loved me a lot longer than I've loved him. And he's the standard. And so my prayer is that this entire 4 weeks of content, but especially today, will open our eyes, soften our hearts, and we'll reignite the love, reignite the passion we have for each other. That God will strengthen marriages through the truth he shared over the last few weeks. And that maybe give some of us hope that, oh yeah, it's not as complicated as I thought. It's not as, I've done it before. What happened if you did it again? If you just chose to show love? If you chose to submit to one another? What would your marriage look like 6 months, a year from now? I don't know. But you do. And so my prayer is that you'll take a step. A step in wholeness. A step not to get more from them. That's the key. A step with Jesus filling your heart so that you can give more to them. And when both spouses are looking to do that, whew, watch out. That's a marriage. That's going to last for better or for worse. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we do love you. And God, we thank you that you chose to love us. We thank you that you chose to submit to us. We pray today that you reignite the actions that we've all done. Show us how to defer. Show us how to submit. And as we do, Father, may the passion of our marriage be reignited. And this time, may we continue to choose love, continue to submit, continue to pursue through whatever comes our way. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray.